left, and then we also have our finalizations to do. So, yeah, let's go into the open forum. Okay, if you haven't signed up for the open forum, fill out a sheet. Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah, the open forum portion of things would be to visit with the commission about anything that is not included under finalizations or part of the public hearing. And we'd ask you to come forward and hopefully keep it to 5 minutes or so. And if not, I'll stand up and give you the signal and ask you to wrap up. So the first person would be Marty Haynes. For Marty, go ahead.
My name is Marty Haynes. I'm from over by Faith, South Dakota. My question is in regards to the out-of-state archery tags. I've been following some stuff online about limitations or not limiting or for public ground and stuff. And I own an outfitting business at home over there on my family ranch. And I guess my question to you guys is, has there been much discussion on it from you guys? Is there a plan to regulate or shorten out-of-state archery tags? And also, is it going to be strictly for just public or also private? Those were my questions, I guess. And if it was indeed for private, I wanted to put in my two cents as for how many people in my area and even just Western South Dakota or even Eastern South Dakota for that reason, having outfitting businesses and the reasoning for all these people wanting to limit the tags on public ground because the in-staters are claiming they're not having any room or availability or it's over hunted and the quality of animals has gone down. Well, my argument was on private ground, our in-state influence of hunters is pretty much non-existent. So in my opinion, it didn't make much sense to regulate the private archery tags for out-of-staters, but I get where they're coming from with the public ones. So my question was just kind of where you guys were at, if you'd heard about it or discussed it or anything like that.
Tony, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. It is something that has been drawn into a broader discussion of all licenses. And there are two points of advocacy that we're hearing when it comes to those archery licenses is specifically two public lands where there are some concerns with the number of hunters that are out there, and there also is advocacy towards a broader restriction of all archery licenses. As for this year, the timing isn't there for anything to come for 2018, but Commissioner Jensen, I think the goal is to bring this discussion to fruition at some point within the next year so that if any changes are to come, they would come in that time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, we've started a kind of a general discussion of resident, non-resident hunters, and this will probably be addressed in there, will be talked about, and so for the next year, I think everything's pretty much status quo, but we'll see where these discussions lead to in the future, so stay tuned.
All right, thank you.
Next person I have on the list is Dana Rogers. Dana?
My name is Dana Rogers, Hill City, South Dakota. Secretary Hepler, commissioners. You'll see a handout there, and it's segued into this non-resident archery discussion and overall discussion of non-resident deer permits in general. Got quite a list of statistics here. Call it my manifesto. Some of you may have already seen it and spent a little time going over it. All of these statistics I got directly from the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks studies. They do an excellent job, and the information is all out there. First, I want to state that I'm not anti-non-resident. I hunt as a non-resident myself in several states. I've not heard very many people at all ever even suggest the elimination of non-resident hunting permits, just that there be a limit and some kind of reasonable quota because of the effects of some of these statistics that you will see borne out here. So, but while I do hunt as a non-resident in several states, the vast majority of those states require that a hunter draw a permit. There is a limited number of permits. Or if it's a general permit or an unlimited type permit, they have finite number of units or counties or areas. So here in South Dakota, we have a statewide archery permit for either sex, any deer, in other words, mule deer or whitetail. You will not find that in any other state other than Nebraska, and they don't have near the public land or the mule deer that we do in South Dakota. So I would ask that everyone consider apples to apples and look at all different types of subject matter and the facts so that they're comparing things fairly and equally across the board. We currently have an unlimited archery season permits for non-residents and residents for antelope and deer. And those deer permits are, again, any deer, so whitetail or mule deer. The statistics, according to the Game, Fish, and Parks website from 2017, was that about 1,500, a little more, resident antelope tags were sold, and 521 non-residents. So 25% of all of the archery antelope permits sold were to non-residents. And with antelope archery, most of those are done on public land in the northwest part of the state. With archery deer, the year previous in 2016, there was 24,500 and change resident permits and 3,474 non-resident permits for a 12% archery deer allocation with that unlimited. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but when we get down a little bit further, some of the where they hunt and the harvest, I think you'll clearly see the ramifications to the resident hunter, particularly on public land. The five deer management units with the highest number of non-residents were the Black Hills, Brown, Gregory Counties, West Harding, and Custer National Forest. All of those have a large amount of public land. Game, Fish, and Parks 2016 archery deer harvest projection shows that resident success was 29%, while the non-residents were 41%. That can be for several reasons. I'm sure that, you know, there can be arguments why that is. Perhaps they hire an outfitter. Usually when someone goes from one state to another, they're much more serious, they're much more accomplished. They would probably maybe consider a more experienced or better archer. So they're probably better than the average South Dakota resident. Maybe they spend a little more time. And also, they probably want to take some meat home. They don't own the place. They don't manage the place in most instances. So they're not necessarily going to be concerned with quality or be quite as picky. Those are opinions. Those are speculations and probably can't be drilled down much further than that. But where the numbers really impact things for the South Dakota resident, particularly on the mule deer side and on public land, you will see that basically 40%, or right at 40% of every archery mule deer taken in the state of South Dakota is taken by a non-resident. 12% of the permits, 40% of the mule deer. Regarding public land pressure, Custer National Forest resident success was only 13%. While non-resident success was 24%. And I won't go through all of those statistics. I will go down to the Black Hills, which is a huge point to me, because again, residents and non-residents have an unlimited permit. South Dakota residents that want a rifle hunt have to wait 8 to 10 years to kill a mule deer buck or have an opportunity to hunt a mule deer buck in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I'm sure there's a lot of public parcels in the state that don't have a lot of pressure, but our larger areas have a lot of pressure, a significant amount of non-resident pressure. And hopefully that that data will come out, and we'll have a lot of folks come out with their stories so that you can see that. I appreciate your time. I'm very much looking forward to something being done to help the resident archer that only has a place to hunt on public land have a better experience. Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. Next up is Jake Lebke.
Secretary Hippler, commissioners, once again, thank you for your service on the commission, and all that you do. I guess I'm just want to address, as a last few testimonies, the non-resident archery deer. I don't know if you want to call it issue or what have you, but Dana, previous to me, I think did an excellent job statistically providing you some information. I'm just going to share a couple of my experiences with you. And the first gentleman that gave testimony, I can respect his position on private land. What I'm going to share with you is the experience that I had concerning public land in various parts of the state. And I'm sure the private land gets, a lot less out-of-state pressure. Because a lot of people, and I do it too, if I'm going to go out-of-state to hunt, I typically just go and hunt and don't make previous trips to secure permission, maybe on private land, so I'm typically going to hunt public land. So anyway, I can respect, the public land or the private land stance of not seeing the same types of pressure that the public land experiences. But there's a few areas that I hunt. One, West River, northwestern part of the state. Another, East River along the river breaks. Both large chunks of public land. And both spots I've probably hunted for the past 6 to 8 years. And over that time, continuing to see a increase in the non-resident hunting pressure. One example would be not this past fall, 2017, but 2016. We were up in the Custer National Forest area, staying at the campground there and hunting, of course. And the campground, I think, has roughly a dozen camp spots, and being the national forest, you can kind of pull off the road and camp in other areas too. And basically those were all full, and a lot of my vehicle, and then there's one other vehicle were the only South Dakota licensed vehicles there, I guess. Out of probably, I would say, 20 other vehicles. Just to kind of give you an idea of the increase in pressure. And the same is true for an area I hunt along the river breaks, on the east side of the river. You're seeing more and more of that non-resident pressure on the public land. So it would be great to see the commission. I think it was said that, that the talk has already been and proceed forth to address the issue, I guess. So, once again, thank you for your time and your service.
Thank you. Next up would be Justin Allen.
Hi, commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, just point of order.
Yes.
Just to be clear, I guess that I don't know what Mr. Allen and his mother, Bonnie Allen, are going to speak about today, but if it is in relation to the bait dealer license, I just want to make the commission aware that there is a contested case hearing scheduled for September. So I'm not going to prohibit them, obviously, we don't have to prohibit them from giving their input, but I would advise the commission not to engage in dialogue because it may affect your ability to objectively weigh the criteria when that contested case hearing does come in September, as well as the fact that Mr. Allen is represented by an attorney out of Huron, Mr. Jeff Burns. So, again, I'm not trying to impede their ability to talk in the open forum. I just want to advise the commission of what's going on.
The hearing is when?
September, the next commission meeting.
Next commissioner meeting is in will be September. So are you aware of?
Jeff told us we could come out here and give our spiel.
Jeff.
Jeff Burns.
Jeff Burns.
Well.
And you gave us permission too, that you said yes, yeah, we could give,
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I said.
So.
Well, I would just like to say my side.
You know, our time is up, so, yeah.
It just is, it's because Jeff said that there was a meeting set up in June, and then nothing ever came, and then he said that they said there was a meeting set up in July, and nothing ever came. And so I feel that they're just delaying it, you know, for me to be able to get back to work is all this is. It's a five-minute deal. My time is up, and I want to be reinstated a license to go back to work. I did everything you guys have asked me to do, and, you know, I've been perfect behavior, and I'm ready to go back to work and do absolutely everything perfect.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, we're getting into testimony here.
Exactly, and that's what I was kind of avoiding. Justin and Bonnie, and you again, you're free to make your personal statements, and maybe that's what Mr. Burns was referring to, is to you can come and give personal statements about your situation. However, I'm advising the commission not to comment on those statements because, they're, according to your attorney, he has requested a contested case hearing in September to determine the 2018 denial of your application.
But supposedly, Tony Leaf had said he didn't know if he could fit us in September.
It wasn't Tony Leaf's.
This is why we're here. I mean, I drove seven hours.
Yes, ma'am.
You know.
It wasn't Tony Leif's decision. It was a department decision.
And delayed just so he can't get back to work, and it's been over a year.
Again, ma'am, I understand your concerns.
Well, I understand yours too.
From our perspective, everything that we have on our agenda today, we were unable to fit the contested case hearing in under such short notice. And I explained that to Attorney Burns, and again, he agreed that September, to schedule it for September, and that's what the plan was as far as I knew.
Well, I'll ask you then, what is the contested case? How long does it have to be? I mean, what are you guys coming with? I mean, my time is up. I don't know what you're going to hold against me, so I don't know why there has to be a big, long contested case.
Those are matters that would have to be discussed at the contested case hearing. And again, I would highly recommend you talk to your attorney. I've explained all of this to him. I'm really not at liberty to discuss with you, being the fact that you're represented by an attorney.
Who are you?
I'm John Cotillant, the senior staff attorney for Game Fish and Parks.
I spoke with you the other day.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct?
Yes.
And you said nothing about we could come to a meeting. You said nothing about that.
I didn't say you couldn't come to a meeting. You can absolutely come and still give your...
No, and it only takes us 5 minutes to give our spiel, and I mean,
yes,
I
ma'am.
Just don't know that it's a problem.
No, ma'am. I'm not saying you can't give your spiel. I'm just saying that the commission can't... I'm recommending that the commission not engage or answer questions that you may have for the commission, because it may affect their ability to objectively decide the factors when the contested case hearing is heard. Does that make sense?
Well, here's a letter on a year is up, and he has no convictions whatsoever. So I don't know why that would be a problem for you guys to take a look and order him back to work.
It is up to you guys. So that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I don't know why the problem.
And your statement is what? Just that time is up. And
time is up.
And
we would like to get him back
to work.
I've got
the paper right here.
I mean, he has no convictions. I think that should be telling all of us that there's more to the whole story, that he needs to get back to work.
And you're aware of your attorney's...
We're aware of attorney, and Jeff said, he said, if you want to go there and give your point, you're more than welcome to go.
Okay.
I mean, things are done behind people's back often, so this is where we're coming from.
Is there any other statement you want to make?
Well, either if I can't be reinstated today, can I go work for another bait dealer then?
Well, it's not going to be done today, clearly.
No, again, that's a question for the contested case hearing. And that's after conversations with Jeff Burns, that was my understanding of the basis for his request for the contested case hearing.
So when is that supposed to be then?
It's September, ma'am.
And when? When in September? Because we have not been notified of a date.
The next September commission meeting, hold on one second, I'll check my calendar.
And is it on the agenda, or is this just being talked about today?
The agenda hasn't been drafted, and the next commission meeting is September 6th, and it is in...
And the agenda isn't drafted yet, correct. So if you guys are too busy, it doesn't get on the agenda once again.
Again, ma'am, I'll express the same concerns I did on the phone with you. I've been in contact with Attorney Jeffrey Burns over the past several months, and he felt that he wanted to bring it to the July commission. When he finally made that decision, the agenda was drafted to the point where we had no room left on the agenda to fit the contested case hearing in.
So what if you don't in September?
Ma'am, there's plenty enough time.
To go for 2 years without
No, ma'am. There's plenty enough time, lead time. We're talking 2 months away that we will build it into the agenda.
Not really, though. My busiest time would be July and August and September. That's why we're here.
If some of these cases, the season is over, like then. To know, attorney, they've been, what, 5, 10 years ago? And they're just being brought forward now?
Again, ma'am, I'm not going to comment on the merits of the case.
I think the commissioners need to know what really is going on. That's why we're here, to get the truth out.
And again, you're free to make whatever statements you want. I'm just advising the commission not to respond.
So how do you feel? I mean, what's your thoughts?
Well, if you have anything else to say, we would listen to that. But otherwise, we cannot act until this procedure has been followed. And then we'll make a decision, I'm sure. So...
any more to say?
No.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank
Sorry
you.
Sorry this had to happen. Yep.
Exactly.
Is there anyone else that wants to provide any open comments? Not? Chairman, I think that's it.
Okay.